Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're watching the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network. Now, it's time for the Brent and Austin Show.
Yeah, you come in on a Monday. It's April 1st. We're not screwing around with the dumb April Fool's stuff, okay? But.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I've already seen like 15 things. I retweeted and unretweeted something quickly.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They already got you?
Yeah. Didn't really get me. Like, it was like. Because I got it as I was doing it. I was like, oh, okay, I forgot today's the
Still
day.
Got you a little bit, though.
Yeah, kind of, almost. Yeah. I've been gotten worse.
Okay.
Okay. So, by fakey and Rappaports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those have been worse. But I always think about, like, hey, what are we going to talk? There's so much coming off the weekend. I mean, we got a lot to talk, sports. But I'm not worried about the sports. But that's one thing. And it's beautiful weekend at Jacksonville. It's fun, kind of nice. I mean, just fantastic. We got that. We got April. We got the Masters on the horizon. We got the NFL draft month. We got Shock Your Mock coming up. Mm-hmm. I was pissed off driving home last night at like 12:30 or whatever because I got a letter from the HOA again.
Here we go
in the HOA. Like, I don't want to do the HOA. I mean, we all know the HOA sucks. Like, everybody knows the HOA sucks. But I just can't help but think of, it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, if you have an HOA, like, why am I getting a letter because I got a tree that's overhanging my driveway and therefore it's when it rains, I got some sloppy stuff that ends up on the driveway. Now I got a power wash, right? Like, it's right in front of my drive, like, garage door. The car covers it up like half the time. Like, when was this person looking at this spot on my driveway that I've got to now power wash or whatever?
Okay.
But when I drive home at like 12:30 at night, I've got cars on both sides of the road.
Call the cops, man. Snitch on them. Let's
both
go.
Both sides of the road. I mean, you could almost not get a bicycle through there, never mind my truck. Good thing I'm a damn good driver and I was a valet parker. So last night, at like 12:30, in front of those houses, I just beeped the horn a couple times.
Jeez.
That's going to be my new thing. If I beep
the horn?
Yeah, I'm just going to beep the horn. I hope I wake your ass up.
Hey, how about you just go to the doorstep and say, move the car?
No, I don't understand why that's not an HOA thing. There's two, I thought of another one this weekend. You guys, you know, like the neighborhoods and you got the curve. If you park on the curve, you can't get by. Like, you need a freaking red light.
Oh, man.
This is dangerous stuff.
You and Hammy need to start a podcast called The Daily Rant or something, and you guys need to just spitball daily rants.
They're worried about my 4x4 little piece of driveway that's got a little dirt on it.
Sure.
But we can't, like, eliminate both sides parking in the neighborhood.
Okay, but here's the question. What is both sides parking? Why does it bother you?
Because you almost can't get by.
Okay.
Like, I mean, literally, it's like...
Now, do you live in an alley, though? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you can't get by? Okay.
If I put two cars, if I go this road right here,
yeah,
Central Parkway,
yeah.
If I go put two cars right across from each other,
yes,
it's not easy to get by.
Okay, I got you.
I'm taking mirrors off. I have to like close my mirrors or take them down or whatever. I'll fold them in.
Do you have rules where it's like if it's a certain day you can't park on one side of the street or not? It's not nothing like that. Okay, I got you.
Maybe we need that.
Yeah, that's what Wisconsin's got, man.
See, the thing about it's what's happened in our neighborhood. We got there in like 2008, and I'm sure this happened a lot of places. Mm-hmm. It's grown up. But the kids are like, now the kids, like our kids were three when we got here.
Yeah.
Now they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
So we have way more cars in the neighborhood,
okay,
which makes sense. Like we do too. We've got like three cars in our driveway now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want me to get onto the neighbor that parks the car right behind where you back out of the driveway, we get on that, even though I love the neighbor. But I haven't done it. But I always say, like, if I hit the lottery, I am ramming back into that car one day, like so fast, and I'll buy the damn guy a new car. But I am ramming into that sucker. Like, and I want that to, I want them to just, I'm going to video them coming out, be like, what happened? What happened? You park right behind when I got 16-year-olds driving. Are you crazy?
Man, I can't wait till I grow up one day and have to deal with this.
Well, you living like in the beach. A beach must be like 10 times worse. Oh,
we're chilling. Nah, man, we're chilling. We're chilling. I had a neighbor make me cookies yesterday. We're just chilling, man. Like, people park on the lawn.
Made you cookies?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't tell them to make me the cookies. They just came over and brought me some cookies. Oh, thank you. Yeah, man, we're just chilling at the beach, honestly. No HOA, no issues. People parking on the street, on the sidewalk. Doesn't matter, man. Just, you know. It's the beach. It's good vibes. No, I mean, this is just literally like, hey, it was because I'm not the most sociable neighbor, believe it or not. So I talked to them like a couple days ago. I'm like, hey, it's great to meet you. Here's some cookies. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm not going to make you guys anything at all, but I appreciate the effort. I don't got time, you know?
I'll protect your home if needed.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. There we go. I will keep a lookout. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, you do that to me, there's going to be issues.
It made me feel better.
A beep.
I don't care. By the way, you can get me on that Ring cam. I don't care. There's nothing wrong with beeping. There's more wrong with parking on both sides of the road. I don't get it.
Oh, man.
Got by the speed trap this morning on the way up here, too. Those should be illegal. It's another thing.
Oh.
Do you think is there anybody out there that does an HOA podcast? Like, if you did an HOA podcast, you'd kill it.
Like, in terms of complaining about the HOA, yeah. Or like an HOA, like the homeowner association actually doing a podcast?
No. Complain about the HOA. Okay. HOA has enough damn power. Don't give them the microphone.
Well, I don't know what we're doing. Okay.
But if we started like an HOA podcast,
yeah,
I think we'd kill it.
Okay.
Like the HOA. Look at the chat. It's already going. Is Hamby talking? No, it's not on the stream. We silenced him today.
Well, Hamby, I mean, for real, though, if he was talking.
I know.
Okay, I got you. I mean, Hamby, let's address that real quick.
We're good now.
You think if there was a podcast, like, just bad-mouthing the HOA of your neighborhood, you think that would do big numbers in terms of everybody? Okay.
Yeah, not just my neighborhood. I mean, across
it's just
the
like, hey, Jerry Seinfeld, what's the deal with these HOAs? Like, I mean, I feel like you could do a stand-up routine about it.
You can.
Yeah,
no,
let's get it.
It's a great hot-button thing. It gets... I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
People can relate to it.
Some pay probably like a lot of money. I don't know what we are, but
the silence of the Hamby. Oh, I love it, man.
We're off to a rock and roll and start here.
Oh, man.
I mean, hey, we're 6 minutes in, and you've already dropped three choice words.
I know it. My voice is cracking a little bit. Got me going. And I had a great weekend. I mean, this is great. But that HOA, man, there's something about them. Something about them, I think, gets people far. Here's the other thing. Have you ever been on? See, you're not living in this world.
I'm not.
Have you ever been on one of these? You grew up in like a community neighborhood, yep. Cul-de-sac-y kind of place. Like, yep. They have these message
called
boards.
The burbs.
They have these message boards.
East Arlington, baby.
Did they have a message board on like Facebook?
Oh, dude, that was so when I did a different morning show.
Yeah.
That was, I invented a segment where I lied about being one of those neighborhoods, and I joined the group, and then I would read out loud people's complaints on the radio.
That again? Can we bring that over?
Bring it over.
Are you still doing it?
Bring it over.
Because that's fantastic.
Bring it over.
Like, yeah. I don't read it, but yeah. Steph actually does, and she'll...
I thought it was funny. People didn't think it was, whatever.
They didn't think it was funny?
I mean, listeners, whatever. Hey, it wasn't my call. Well, I thought it was a great segment.
Maybe we just reached a different audience.
I guess
This audience will like it a lot better.
And like, especially Jacksonville, and this was like, I'm not going to say the neighborhood because I don't want to get in trouble for it, but I literally faked like I was part of this neighborhood. And then I had like all the privilege to see like all the, because it's on, what's it called? Next Door was the like
Next
the
Door,
app.
That's what it's called. You're right.
Yeah. So then, dude, like some of these complaints were wild.
It's unreal.
So like all I did was I would change people's names, but everything else was like... verbatim of what people were saying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was proud
of that. We should bring that. We'll steal that.
Yeah, let's steal it.
Because
there's nothing to steal. It's public domain. Let's take it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's fine. But I think it might work better here because our audience isn't as sensitive. The problem is you were talking to the actual people who were writing that stuff.
That's a good point. That makes a little more sense. Yes. Gotcha.
Brent Martin, Austin Lane, Brent and Austin Show, Jason Hamby, The Silence of the Hamby. I love it. That's going to be
a
thing.
The Silence of the Hamby.
Hope you did have a nice weekend. Wow, what a good sports weekend, too. As Now we got the Final Four all set.
Yeah.
Your champ's still in it, UConn. They're dominant. Our champ's out, Houston.
Thanks for playing, guys.
Alabama beat Clemson, so Hamby got that. Dang it. Well, I thought Clemson really pissed that game away.
Free throws, man.
Yeah, the free and they're not a bad free throw shooting team.
Yeah.
And I had just actually, I think, there are two things I said, I think, to you guys or Ty or somebody in the last couple weeks about this tournament. I thought the free throw shooting on a whole is better. Mm. I think we talked about that at Strings the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
I think it's just better. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to miss and you're going to have games like Clemson had a game. But I do think it's better overall. I think guys are better at it. I mean, heck, even Zach Edey, who airballed one and missed some, he's got a heck of a shot for 7'4".
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a good-looking shot from the free throw line. I mean, we've seen some bad ones now over the years, especially from the big fellas.
Yes.
The other thing that I said, I saw somebody get fouled on a three-point shot. I thought this was like an epidemic years ago. So much so that I think they've changed some of the rules, right? That you can't kind of kick into. Is that just in the NBA or is that in college?
Yeah, you can't throw the leg out.
Can't throw the leg out, right?
Throw it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is, I think teams are way better at not fouling. I don't know if that's something. Have you guys noticed it in the tournament? Like, I haven't noticed as many of those.
Yeah, there's a lot more discipline when it comes to that. I would say so.
Yep. So anyway, those are just two observations. The other big observation from the NCAA tournament, and it has to be, well, there's two more really for me. Mm-hmm. One is the big men. This is a guard tournament most years. Like, this is known as a guard tournament. And the big men have basically dominated the tournament.
They have. I mean, Burns, obviously, Edie, and then the cat from UConn that can never pronounce his name correctly.
Yeah, he's huge, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 7-footer.
They're just so good everywhere that he doesn't get as much love. But
well, I mean, but he was a difference in the Marquette game. He was a dude's been – he's making his height known.
Illinois missed 21 layups.
Yeah. Clinging in. There it is. You know, I think when we talk about – it's funny because this whole tournament's been about the guard play. And, like, the big men kind of took a back seat a little bit. Now you have three legit big men who aren't, like, a Wembanyama where they're going to, like, go on the perimeter and shoot threes. Like, these are all just legitimate throwback post big men, and they're making all the difference in the world. And I think it begs the question going forward of, are we going to see resurgence? Are we going to see a resurgence of the post big men? I mean, in college, maybe. In the NBA, it's kind of hard to fathom, you know, but Edie playing like he wants to be a top 15 NBA draft pick. Burns, I hope, gets a shot one day to be in the NBA. And then, you know, Klingon or whatever that guy's name is might get a shot as well. And it's not like these guys are extending the perimeter. It's not like these guys are great ball handlers per se. They're big men who post up and get the job done.
Yeah, I think they've been so good. Burns, I mean, now all of a sudden Burns become like the...
Oh, he's the...
Like Edie's the guy, right? When you don't have to use the ladder to cut down the nets,
I know,
that's something special.
Yeah.
that was terrific, by the way. Yeah. That just puts it in perspective how big he is. He's the biggest mismatch going in the tournament for obvious reasons. I do think he's hard to officiate. I know a lot of people are complaining about the officiation of that. It's kind of like LeBron. I think LeBron's a hard guy to officiate. If you want to play him, if you want to defend him, you're going to hit him. You got to hit him.
Yeah.
But he's a freight train. Edie, kind of a different animal here, but he's hard to officiate. But Burns is a character, man. He's full-blown, like, he's everybody's favorite. I mean, my Steph just said this morning, he's like, Steph's like, I'm rooting for NC State. Like, she loves the guy. How do you not? I mean, he's hanging out with the band. He's taking pictures with security people. He plays the game with a smile on his face, man. It's pretty cool.
Well, and he even said, you know, like, I'm playing this game because I have fun playing it. As soon as I stop having fun, I'm not going to play this game anymore. You know, so I think it's really telling in terms of just, and I thought it really interesting too. They asked him after the game, what's been the difference? He's like, oh, well, you know, we're going to practice now on time and we're showing up and everything. And it's like, well, what was going on during the regular season?
Yeah, true.
You know, but nevertheless, I mean, they're playing like a team that's got nothing to lose, that has all the chips on their shoulder. And most importantly, you see on the sidelines, they're having a blast playing the game and it's contagious and they're dominating because of it.
Okay. So I've got this. Do you like this Final Four?
Okay.
Is it good? Because I kind of feel like it's got a little bit of everything. We got four different conferences, right? You got the Big East, ACC, the SEC, and now Purdue, the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. You've got dominant teams, Purdue and UConn. You've got Alabama, who missed their chance last year as a one, but here they are in the Final Four. You've got Purdue, Missed their chance last year, but here they are on the revenge tour. You've got Cinderella as NC State. You've got a team that hasn't been there since 1983 in NC State. You've got a team, is Alabama a first-timer? Yeah, I think they're the first-timer. Purdue hasn't been there since, what, 1980? Do I have that right? I think in the Final Four. And then you have UConn trying to win it back-to-back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it actually is delivering in the Final Four with everything. And I don't know how you can't say anybody could win it, although UConn is a dominant team.
Yeah, I mean, UConn's got to be by far the favorite.
I get it. But we know sports. I mean, these teams are capable. This isn't like a 15 seed in the Final Four.
I just think that if you hold the best scoring offense in the country and you go on a 30-0 run.
That's unbelievable.
Against the best supposed offense in the country, I don't know what to tell you. And once again, like it could be Purdue, it could be NC. I just think, man, UConn's on a different level right now. And I say this and watching it beat the next game, but.
Well, because that's sports.
It's sports, but they haven't given me any reason to think that they're not going to win the whole thing.
I get that.
I mean, I get that the first half, Illinois, Marcus Tomas is going off. Well, they had a solution for him in the second half. And like I said, UConn's got everything. They have guard play, they have the big man, they have great coaching, they play great defense. It's just hard to fathom how UConn can let this whole thing slip through its fingers.
Stylistically, they're not only just good, but stylistically, I feel like they're playing a different game than everybody, and it's like the college basketball. I'm not saying they're reinventing basketball, but college basketball hasn't figured out how to stop what they're doing the last 2 years. Because let's be honest, they've been dominant. Now you're starting to ask dominance. Like 111 points is the differential in their four games. The modern-day record, I believe I read, was 129 by Kentucky whenever. UConn had 120-point differential last year, which means they've got to get 19 points. They've got to beat their next two opponents by 19 points. And are you betting against them? They haven't lost a game in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years they haven't won a game by less than 13.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is incredible dominance almost out of nowhere. I don't think we paid enough attention to the dominance of UConn in last year's tournament and really ever since I got one loss this calendar year so far, I think, to Seton Hall. And they were without their big man, I think, in most of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we always see in the tournament where the favorites, you know, we hype them up and then they always let you down. And make no mistake about it, UConn was the front runner coming into the tournament. You know, everyone was saying, man, too many people like them. They're going to get upset. It hasn't even been close. Like, it hasn't even been like, I get it. Once again, the Illinois game, first half, cool. I mean, it was back and forth, call it what you want. It's a two-half game. The game wasn't even close. Like, nobody has played UConn close this entire tournament. And in terms of matchups, like, I can't see Alabama. Once again, I say this and watch me, you know, bite my words, but yes. I just can't see a team beating UConn. I really can't.
Well, I actually think, like, Alabama has maybe a recipe because they can shoot the threes.
Sure.
And so if they fall, that's a recipe to beat anybody. Mm-hmm. Honest. I mean, it is. It's just the recipe if they're falling. Now, UConn's very good defensively, too. So it's really hard. Really hard. So here's the question. You're answering it. Can anyone beat UConn? And so what you're saying is no.
I mean, listen, it's basketball, right? Anything can happen. Nobody saw NC State going as far as they did. Now, I didn't like them against Marquette. I mean, I was worried about Marquette because Marquette's more of a finesse team. And I like NC State just because they're physical, get in your face. And once again, play with a chip on their shoulder. I just think UConn is on a different level right now.
Yeah, I mean, they do feel that way. I don't know if I'm even like, I don't hate UConn. I don't mind it. I just don't know if I like all the dominance. Like, it's weird. It's a tournament that you don't see dominance. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's an uncomfortable thing about this tournament. You don't get a lot of that. You don't get a run through. Now, listen, NC State has been dominant in their own right. But they're not a dominant basketball program or team or anything else. This is like truly Cinderella. All you have to do is go back to that ACC tournament, the shot they hit against Virginia to force overtime. If they don't make that shot, they're not even in the dance. Which also has me thinking, because I've been up and down. We haven't got to the topic I want to get to on Greg Sankey. He's okay. He's the head honcho of the SEC, as everybody knows. Is it official? Is he a commissioner?
Yeah, he's commissioner. Just different. Yeah. Yep,
is that what they call it, commissioner? Yeah. Commissioner of the SEC. And he said before the tournament, basically, like, paraphrasing, "Hey, maybe we shouldn't have so many Cinderellas. You should have more depth of the Power Five conferences because those teams have a better chance. Well, and then he's got like egg on his face when SEC goes 1-5 day. Yeah, yeah. Now they almost get 2 in the Final Four. They do have 1 in the Final Four. And I think what he's talking about is not necessarily one of his conference teams. It's actually NC State. NC State is exactly what he's talking about. If you get these teams in, they are actually capable of going on a run. But what I would counter with is, come on, Sankey, like, the beauty of this tournament is George Mason making it the Final Four, too. And they've been able to do it. VCU's been able to do it. Other Loyola teams have been able to do it, you know? So, like,
on deep runs.
Yeah, it's still the beauty of the tournament. And that wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't agree with him, but I would just say there's a little added fuel to what he's saying because NC State is actually delivering on, I think, what he was kind of talking about.
Well, I mean, here's what I feel about it. You have to give a chance to the mid-majors to get in. Now, you know, we've talked about this a little bit on the show before. I think with the transfer portal and everything, like, you know, I think that makes things harder on mid-majors. I mean, if you look at Southern Illinois last year, if they still had Marcus Damask and the number 55 from Purdue, they'd probably be in the tournament right now, maybe doing something. But that's not the case, right? People want to transfer. People want to shot at the NBA, and people want to play for better programs. That's understandable. But you still have to give the mid-major their shot. Now, if you're Bishop Sankey, Mr. Sankey, you're saying, hey, well, you know what? I think, you know, a lower-seeded or whatever SEC school should be in. Then win the conference tournament. Simple as that. If you're really that good of a team, then win the conference tournament. NC State did it. Now look at NC State. If they don't win the conference tournament, then they probably wouldn't be in, obviously. But that's the thing. Like, you have to take game by game in your conference seriously, right? Yeah. Because it means everything. And if you are on the outside of things, on that bubble, maybe not making the tournament, that's simple. Win your conference championship. That adds more, you know, power to it. That adds, it's almost like must-see TV sometimes. So, yeah, win your conference championship, and we'll have to talk about it.
All right. Final Four is all set. Should be good. Maybe we'll take a look at where we sit. I haven't even looked at the update, so I'm sure Hamby can give us the update of that.
Can I just say in this whole bracket thing in our group, the most beautiful thing that I've seen is that there's somebody in our group says, I don't watch basketball. Their name is I Don't Watch College Basketball, and they have NC State winning the whole thing.
Really? That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
That is the tournament, right?
That's beautiful.
That is why the experts don't win the bracket.
That is beautiful. Now, maybe they were being, you know, ironic and sarcastic. Maybe they do watch college basketball. But I'm just saying, there's somebody in our group called I Don't Watch College Basketball, and they have NC State and winning the whole thing.
Well, here's the deal. If they watched basketball, they wouldn't have put NC State in the
True. That's true.
Most likely, they would not have done that. All right, let's take a break. Brent Dawson Show, just getting rolling on a Monday. We take it until 1 o'clock on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 network, which means all over social media, actionnewsjax.com, the Action News Jax app as well. Plenty of content going there. We'll have no gate fees on Wednesday this week. We'll have another a week with Action Sports Jax and Cup Day 2 coming off Richmond last night on the NASCAR Series. And there is Austin still dancing with Yikes. UConn. Now, no Marquette, no Tennessee could try. Arizona obviously out, but he's got UConn, and that might be all he needs is to get that national champ. The points get so significant as you get later.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 network.
It is shorts weather now. I was just thinking of this coming in. Now, I know you're shorts weather all the time. But for me, I feel like I'm turned into shorts now for the first time. Like, my
Welcome,
I look
man.
Like Casper. I'm so legs are
milk,
so
milk of magnesia Martin, everybody.
By now, I've usually got about 20, 25 rounds of golf in.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, can accentuate the calves a little bit.
There you go, man.
With some walking and exercise and maybe a little sun.
There you go.
Hasn't been the case
Get
so far.
Get that vitamin D. Nothing, huh? You haven't been in the sun, man?
Not really.
What's going on? Get out there.
It's I know, man.
Beautiful weekend. Going.
Yeah. I feel like I got to get the clubs out of the garage or something. We got to sneak out somehow, try to play. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Brent and Austin Show, and wow, we are draft time for the Jags, huh? A month away. It's a little bit quiet, a little calm before the storm. We do have Shock Your Mock season coming up. We're going to try to get that going later in the week with maybe a celebrity edition of Shock Your Mock, whatever that looks like. But then, should we give him a little sneak peek of how Shock Your Mock is working?
Well, I mean, we've told him a little. We've given him. I mean,
but we have like millions of listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Ever since the whole Patrick Mahomes incident, I'm sure a lot of Swifties have been on here now. Yeah, I got you.
So
hit him with it, Brent.
Well, so we're doing basically a bracket.
Yes.
Right? And we are going to have two straight weeks of bracket play.
Come on.
That we'll get into a winner's pile. And then we'll have the final week there where we go from like 16 to 8 to 4 to champion.
Yes.
I think is how it's done.
Yes.
We're still trying to figure it out too. Mm-hmm. No, but that sounds about right. So it's basically a 3-week edition of Shock Your Mock, 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. And we'll conclude with draft day or maybe even the eve of the draft. We'll figure that part out. So you've got to start doing this and figuring it out and send us your Shock Your Mocks if you want to be involved with it. That portion will start Monday. We'll basically pick out of a hat, grab a couple, and you're going to be pitted against somebody else. So
yeah.
This isn't just Austin roasting your mock. No,
for sure.
We roast two mocks.
Back-to-back mocks.
But right next to each other and we decide which one's the better mock.
Correct.
To go into the bracket, and then the fans will decide who is the champion once we get to bracket play.
This is correct. So
I explained that pretty well, didn't I?
Very well. Yep. So there's going to be two brackets per day. I'm sorry. I did a horrible job explaining it. There's going to be two mocks per day. They'll be on the screen. Brent and I will break them down. Me and Brent each get one vote. We will vote who we think is better. If there is a tie, then we will let the kids decide. Call it the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards because Hamby will come in with the deciding factor and establish whose mock truly is better, and then we will go from there. And listen, take this seriously, okay? Don't just put Grant Delpit 25 times and expect me to vote you no. So bring your A games, okay? Because not only will we be judging you, but if you go on to the bracket, if you go on into the finals, entire Jaguars Twitter will be judging you, and it can be ruthless out there, everybody.
It can be pretty bad. Now, and that is that. I like this. I like what you've done. You've done a little twist on the rebirth of the Shock Your Mock because it can get a little, I don't know about stale. It's always fun.
Yeah.
But you can get a lot of the similar ones. So this will promote, I think, having some different looks and who's doing what. And, we were going to say, hey, why don't you get everything from a certain website so we can follow along because each one does different stuff. We're not going to do that. Wherever you get your Shock Your Mock, you just got to send us the picture, image. And the best way to do that is probably on social media. In a tweet or something like that. But you know how to find us. If you have any questions about how to find us and want to be involved, just shoot us a tweet or whatever on the message board and we'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to use, the Amazon powered by AWS Shock Your Mock version, by all means.
Chris Collinsworth would love you.
I was just going to say, that's not Chris Collinsworth. Isn't he PFF?
I think he's got the AWS
as well?
Stuff too.
Okay.
It's tied in.
Well, because they might sponsor the show one day. So we'll go with AWS for sure. If you want to use the nerds at PFF, it could dock you a little bit, just saying.
It could dock you.
I mean, from where I'm sitting, it might dock you a little bit. We'll see. Take that for how you want.
Maybe not from where I'm sitting.
Just take it for how you want.
Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Jason Hamby. Okay, I'm going to get this out of the way right now. We'll get to some Major League Baseball stuff. I think there was an interesting play this week involving your Brewers. It's an opening weekend that was pretty interesting anyway. And we will have some football conversation coming up too. But we were just talking about the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I said this to somebody last night on TV, and I got heavy eyebrows. I'm telling you right now, and I think I'm being truthful. This is not me. I have no reason to promote the women's game. I am more interested in LSU-Iowa tonight than I am of the Final Four games this weekend. Is that a ridiculous statement?
No, I mean, I think you have the most drama built in to the LSU-Iowa game. So, no, not at all.
I'm not predicting that the numbers will be better, right? Like, more people are going to watch this weekend's game, the men's game, the Final Four. I just think this could be Caitlin Clark's last game.
Mm-hmm.
Angel Reese, I don't think enough people have talked about her, quite frankly. Kim Mulkey's program and LSU have been under the gun, right or wrong. I mean, it's just part of the storyline. I mean, we like storylines. Some people will present this like a I don't know, like a good versus bad or something like that. I think that's ridiculous. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. I mean, Mulkey.
Well, there's the Times article now.
Now there's the Times article.
Haley Van Lilith is claiming racism. There's a lot going on.
There's really a lot going on with LSU. Now, in some respects, I think Mulkey tried to get so far ahead of the Washington Post article that it's almost like she pleaded guilty before even seeing the piece. And it turns out the piece, at least across the board, wasn't as much of a hit piece as everybody suggested it might be. Like, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be worse based on her comments.
Yes.
Like, she probably brought more attention to that article. By the way, Kim Mulkey, I don't believe for a second you're not reading the article. You absolutely are reading the article. Listen up, Kim. You have a big ego. That's part of it. You're a big-time college basketball coach.
Have you seen her pantsuits?
You have a big ego.
She's in her own world, man.
You're reading about yourself.
I appreciate it, man.
So let's not go there, okay?
But we could have a Friday Fitz of just Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. No, I'm going to get
maybe
canceled.
It's a good idea.
Nah, dude. Nah, yeah. You got that.
So anyway, we go from there, and then she's like, okay, I'm going to divert attention from the Washington Post article to go to the LA Times article. And I'm not saying anything. I actually thought if you listened to her 4 minutes about where she was coming from, I think there was a lot of good points she made in the 4 minute news conference about that. Listen, the women's game has a platform right now that and has for 20 years. They've continued to grow the women's game. It's certainly not on the from a viewing perspective, from a dollars perspective, where the men's game is, whether you like that or not. That's just the reality. I mean, I can see the numbers, you can too. But I think they've done people like Kim Mulkey, right? People like Clark and Angel Reese and last year's they've done a great job of raising the attention and awareness and the eyeballs to the sport of women's basketball. And I think it culminates tonight. It really does. Like, I'm intrigued by this. I asked on Saturday to myself, what time does Caitlin Clark play?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing for me. I've never said that in my life. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've never said that in my life. What time? Because it's kind of a phenomenon. It's a fear of missing out thing. I'm not even sure I'm its biggest Caitlin Clark fan. It's just, okay, if she's going to drop 48 tonight, I kind of want to see it.
So, no, without a doubt. And because, once again, you're witnessing greatness. It's wild the fact where I'm sitting that I've watched more LSU this tournament than I have Iowa. And it's not the fact that, like, I appreciate Caitlin Clark, and I love watching Caitlin Clark. But I love watching this LSU team because it's almost like, and I'm not, like, a really big reality television person, but I get the drama and just like the antics that people are attracted to. And with LSU, with Kim Mulkey at the helm and Angel Reese and Haley Van Lilith and everybody, it's just, it's almost like reality television in a way.
Yeah, that's a good and call.
I even like, I mean, I watched an entire half of the Middle Tennessee LSU game because Middle Tennessee was actually taking them to the limit in the first half and then they kind of faltered at the end. But like, I saw live Angel Reese get in this girl's face and wave bye to her when she falled out, and the girl was crying. And then I saw on social media people feeling a certain way about it, you know, calling on Angel Reese, calling her a bunch of choice expletives, saying there's no room for that trash in the game, all this stuff. And it's just, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying I love it from the cocky standpoint, from the brash, like, do you, okay? You're on the stage, you're in that right to be on the stage, do whatever you want. But I love it from the fact of when Draymond Green does it, like, yeah, you may feel a certain type of way about it, but the game is better off with Draymond Green's antics.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? The
Maybe
game
a little old by now.
I just think it's something to talk about, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think women's basketball is better off with Angel Reese's antics.
Yeah.
I really do. And I don't understand why we can't put that on the same plane as the men. I feel like if in a college wrestling tournament, if a guy waves bye to somebody, like, yeah, you might see a couple choice words on Twitter, but like half of those people be laughing at it. Like,
yeah,
that would be a meme. Angel Reese does it, and it's like, what? She has no class, cocky. Like, what's the difference? Just it's basketball at a very high level. Go to any kind of playground, go to any kind of YMCA, and you see that exact same behavior. So why is it when a girl does it, we got to feel a certain type of way and speak our minds, but when a dude does it, it's like, ah, it's all good, man. There's guys being guys. It makes zero sense to me. I celebrate it. Angel Reese, do your thing. I hope it's going to be, I mean, I'll be at a hockey game tonight, but I'm going to be like on my cell phone watching a little bit of the Iowa-LSU game.
And I thought Angel Reese was terrific yesterday, I think it was, in her pregame in the interview. She's like, listen, we don't hate each other. Like, I'm fine. I like Caitlin Clark and respect her game. It's like, it's on the court stuff. And I think both of them are like that. I think there's Caitlin Clark has gotten criticism, too, by the way she acts on the court.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many eyeballs on her right now. And I have no problem with it. I mean, this is who we are. You're living under a microscope, you know, and I mean, everything. If we all lived under that microscope, you'd pick things apart on and everybody. That's just the way it is. I think it's great for the game. Honestly,
the game
I think
needs it.
But it's not only that. It's great for sports. That's what I'm telling. That's really where I'm coming from. I don't know if I'm lying to myself or not, but I'm telling you right now, I feel like I'm more interested in watching tonight's LSU-Iowa game than I am either Final Four game. And that's not to say I'm not going to watch the Final Four game or I'm not interested in it, but I do think the storyline of Clark and LSU, at least for tonight in an Elite Eight game, is more important or bigger than me than UConn's dominance. And maybe it's UConn maybe has me sleepy a little bit. But there's no better storyline, and we've been saying this for weeks, there is not a better storyline in men's college basketball than what the women have going. The storyline's way better. Caitlin Clark has been legendary. Her career might end tonight, or she beats LSU, who she lost to in the championship game last year. LSU is as polarizing of a thing there is in sports right now. It just is. I name something else that's polarizing right now in sports. I don't know. So when I don't care if it's men, women, I don't care if it's basketball, soccer, whatever. Like, those kind of storylines are just better. Mm. And you said you might have really captured it. It does feel kind of like a reality show, and we like that. Like, our society likes that.
Listen, I grew up with Reggie Miller looking at Spike Lee and his girl, whoever Spike Lee was with, and literally making the choking gesture in the middle of the court. And we all celebrated it, and we all said, man, Reggie's a gamer. Reggie's got that dog in him. You know, you can't stop Reggie Miller. Now, Knicks fans hated it, obviously.
Now, or we hated him.
Yeah,
you pick sides.
Regardless. But,
you pick
like,
sides.
I came from the realm of, listen, we're celebrating Reggie Miller. Like, that was, because, dude, choked and then hit how many three-pointers win the game? Okay, in Madison Square Garden of all places. Bring that back. Allow that. Embrace that. Like, it's good for the game. You don't, like, I understand people want to see, you know, the sportsmanship, and that's important as well, but it's okay to be competitive. It's okay to, you know, talk some smack, because once again, every single playground in America, if you're playing with kids that actually are worth anything in terms of basketball, you're going to get some of that.
Absolutely. And listen, I think there's a respect level there among competitors. I don't know if the outside public knows how to deal with it all the time. And especially now, I think, again, this is fascinating to me because you bring up that one, that instance of Reggie Miller. And I mean, I have Larry Bird and the Lakers or Celtics Lakers. I have in my mind Celtics Pistons. I have Pistons Bulls. Like, that was an era where you had like this, you had to pick a side. You either liked it or you didn't. It rubbed you the wrong way or you embraced it. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. We get rivalries in sports now because of the jerseys they wear, mm-hmm. right? But we really don't get a lot of rivalries in sports between the competitors. Because everybody respects each other so much. Everybody does commercials with each other now. Everybody will be on the same team together in another year.
Everyone's trading jerseys now, too.
Or NBA or professional baseball, whatever it is. I mean, the one beautiful thing about like 03, 04, this is why I say this is like the greatest thing I've ever covered, is it wasn't just Yankees, Red Sox. Those guys legitimately defended the jersey and their fan base. Legit. Like, they did not like each other. Veritek and Rodriguez, or you name it. They didn't. Now, was there respect amongst some of the premier players? But they hated Pedro Martinez. They hated guys like Euculus. Like, that does exist in sports sometimes, but I don't think we get it a lot. I really don't think we
get it as
it
much
anymore.
As we used to. No, yeah. Because everyone's changing, you know, exchanging jerseys and talking after the game and everything. And, you know, and that's cool from the standpoint of everyone's trying to help each other, right? I talked about this before. Like, the whole tight end university, right?
That's right.
When played, you weren't. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a Colts player or a Titans player that wants to have a university, like a Dean university? screw them. I'm not going to hang out with a Tennessee Titans player. Like, no, that's just not. But the game has changed now. And you know what? And some things have changed for the better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think in terms of a rivalry, I think in terms of just the must-see, the drama, yeah, I think sports sometimes do lack a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I think baseball is really – you've seen the shift as much as almost any other sport because, you know, guy gets on first base, he's having a full-on catch-up conversation with the first baseman. You see that every time. The same thing on second, third, no matter what. I mean, you don't get that. 15, 20 years ago, that's why there's a lot of rivalries that don't seem to have that same punch as they did, you know, because, and I think a lot of it is kind of what y'all just mentioned that, you know, a year or two from now, they might be on that team. There's so much more, it seems like, guys that don't play their whole career in the same jersey or don't play, you know, there's so much more switching teams than, you know, so there's not as much pride in that one team that you're on.
I think you're right a little bit there, but I also like that part of baseball sometimes. It's a long season, right? Like you're playing each other a lot of different times. Like I don't mind that. I'm a sucker for the handshake line. Not just in hockey, by the way, but that's a great example of you can go at it and then shake hands and have respect. Like hockey shows both. Hockey shows I'm going to beat the hell out of you. I'm going to knock your teeth out. Mm-hmm. I want to beat you or beat you up, and then I shake hands with you after. Like they're the epitome of really what sports should be at that stage. Super competitive. I hate your guts, but then nice job, right? Kind of like to me, it reminds me a little bit of what you do for a living in the UFC and MMA.
Sure.
I think they do a lot of that too.
But even hockey's changed now. Like I think where hockey lost a lot of its luster was back in the day, you let players monitor themselves and players used to govern themselves. I mean, the biggest rivalry, at least in my lifetime, was the Wings Avalanche, all because of a cheap hit that led on years and years later where both teams went after each other time and time again. You had goalies fighting each other. You had everything. Like, because the players monitored themselves. And then all of a sudden it became, all right, well, we have all this access now. We can't have guys fighting night in and night out, so let's clean up the game a little bit. When it's the playoffs, sure, up the intensity, but be careful fighting now. And that changed the game of hockey. I think it's with anything. It's with any sport now where we as a society, we love the access. We love the behind the scenes. We love the on the field. We love the sound, all that. Well, when you start getting that, players got to kind of monitor themselves a little more because some of the things that you hear in a huddle, some of the things that you hear in a pile, you aren't ready for.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it's like, all right, well, players got to monitor themselves a little more. We got to overlook them a little more because, well, we don't want society to see what really goes on.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of truth to all of that. I think we've got it tonight. I think LSU and Iowa give us a lot of that stuff. And by the way, I don't think Iowa's as good as they were last year. It doesn't look like. I mean, I'm not a guru on women's college basketball, but it doesn't feel like they are. It doesn't look like they are. I mean, I think LSU's probably better, and I think LSU probably wins it. This could be the end of Caitlin Clark's career, which really has been legendary. I mean, it's been an unbelievable career overall. She, you know, Reese stole the headlines last year, and they won the title, and so it looked like, okay, this is going to be a great dynamic this year. It really wasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caitlin Clark was the star of women's college basketball by far, over Angel Reese and even LSU. Mm-hmm. But that could end tonight. Is the point? I'll say this: they want her to win, though, right? I mean, she gets a ton of calls.
Oh no, without a doubt. I mean, she's getting what, $5 million from Ice Cube and the Big Three to join them and stuff. And yeah, you know, and what we're not talking about either is South Carolina and their dominance.
Well,
and the
that's
women's
the funny
team.
Thing in like, a way, right? Like, we're not talking that.
We're not talking about
all.
The best team at all. Like, but
they're undefeated.
By far, the best team by far in women's college basketball.
They made four Final Fours in a row.
Yeah.
But we did just talk a lot about women's college basketball.
No, we really did. But we didn't mention the best team in women's college basketball. I'm just, hey, I'm trying to give them their flowers too as well.
Hey, since we're on this topic, let's go to the McNeil and Reese Hopkins stuff, if we can, Hamby. We've got a little time for this. So the Brewers and Mets play this week.
Yeah.
And I always love this stuff in baseball because it really, to me, it harkens like old school baseball guy versus new school baseball guy or just a very casual baseball guy that doesn't care about all the unwritten stuff and everything else. So here's what we got. I mean, this is great, first of all. I love this stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And credit to Reese Hopkins because that dude's standing up the next day in the batter's box, and you don't know if you're about to get one in the ribs.
Hey, he took care of business. Don't worry about it.
and he
now,
care of business.
Yesterday, bases loaded twice, didn't deliver, and that's fine. We still won. I say we because, yeah, I'm on the Brewers now. But no, this was...
Wait, didn't you get on to me last week for saying
I was kidding. Yeah, I know. I was, okay. That was supposed to be a joke, but I got you. Anyways.
I got on to you, by the way.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I was on him too. Don't worry about it. First of all, it's hard to be humble. Brewers are 3-0 right now. Yes, I'm already looking up playoff tickets of like trying to figure out like where they would be in the pennant and everything like that. So it's hard to stay focused on the show when the Brewers are so good, yada, yada, yada. One thing about baseball players, though, okay, and what sparked all of that was basically dude slides into second. Yeah. Right, takes a little bit of a cleat to the calf. I'm sure that hurts. Didn't feel good. I understand. Guy misses it. So he slides in the second, hits the guy in the calf. He drops the ball, and then he can't throw it to first for a double play. Okay, whatever. Whatever. Well, I mean, okay, it happens. My point is the jaw-jacking back and forth between these two, the antics, the benches clearing, and once again, all due respect to baseball players. But what is it with you guys who want to bowl up your chests and talk all the smack, and then when it's come times to throw down, you're just like, nah, we're good, and we all just kind of walk casually back to the dugout, and maybe we put a little boo-hoo sign there, and then the guy's jaw-jacking again, and that's about it. Hamby, go ahead.
You're specifically talking about Hoskins, how McNeil was literally in his face pointing at him, and he says nothing and walks back and then
About baseball players in general.
Yeah, okay. This happens every time.
I know.
Mean, the bullpen thing is stupid.
Talking about baseball players in general. Dumb.
The bullpen is the worst part because they come out walking and then they're like, oh, should we go? Should we not?
Well, no. Someone explain it to me. You guys are both baseball players.
I don't get it. I don't. Well, listen, when we played ball, like, you didn't have bullpens that were in the outfield.
Okay.
Okay? Like, okay. At least that's – I didn't.
Okay.
Now, it might have been down the line a little bit, so yeah. It wasn't like you had 15 guys in the bullpen.
Okay, because I'm just saying this was football. Miles Garrett with a helmet would have come flying at you trying to knock your teeth out.
Or Leonard Fournette across the field, right?
Just saying.
Throwing a punch in Buffalo or something like that.
So please continue.
Yeah, I don't get – I mean – the whole thing is always dumb in baseball. That's why when you actually see one, you're like, whoa. Like when you see like punches
and
something that gets out of hand. But there's always the element of, okay, who's going to freak out here? And I think that's the interesting part. And it does here's what happens, I believe. Like people will downplay, okay, they're not really fighting. Well, in many respects, this doesn't happen in basketball a lot either. People leave or you don't want to get suspended for as long as you're going to get suspended.
Okay.
But what it does in baseball – more than anything else, is now you get you thinking, okay, when's the pitch coming? When's it going to happen? So it's not really the time that you're watching and everybody shows like, hey, the bench is clear, and you get the ESPN alert, the bench is cleared. Well, we know what happened when the bench is cleared. They all went back. Yeah. Nobody did anything. But what happens 3 innings later? What happens 3 days later? What happens 3 months later? See, to me, that's the intrigue in baseball, is when were they going to get Hoskins? That's why I give Hoskins a ton of credit the next day. First at bat, you have no idea if you're about to get one in the ribs these days with the command in baseball, the ear hole, or you're about to just go get pitched to regularly, and he, boom, jumped on the first pitch. I was like, that takes some guts now, because you're going to be a little bit like antsy in the box.
No, they did throw at him yesterday a little bit. There was one ball that kind of, okay.
Well, see, that's the problem with throwing at people now, is the command sucks so bad, is guys don't even know how to throw at people.
Okay, yeah, that was really tired from that Mets reliever to throw at him after he was 3-for-3 with like 8 RBIs. Dude, that's like, and Hoskins came out and tweeted, and he's exactly right. That's how baseball governs itself. Like, if Hoskins gets plunked first pitch the next day after the slide in the ribs, I guarantee you he says nothing,
absolutely,
he drops his bat, and he walks to first.
And this is my issue with baseball, I guess. Like, I respect how it governs itself, right? It's bigger than umpires, and that's a great thing in baseball, right? There's almost like an unwritten rule set that's been, like, since the beginning of baseball. Cool. If somebody hits me with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, or 95, that's probably slow, 95-mile-per-hour fastball in the ribs, I'm coming at you. I'm not just going to take my base. Like, dude, I've been shot with a paintball at less speed, and it hurts.
Yes.
Okay? Ask Joe Collin how much I dominated paintball with the Jaguars team outing. It was a thing of beauty. If somebody hits me, and once again, if you even try to go for my ear hole,
well, that's a different story, yeah.
No, Brent, the ribs hurt too.
Well, the ribs do hurt. But isn't that actually shows you a little, there is a toughness about baseball players that they're willing to take a 97-mile-per-hour fastball.
How tough are you if you don't defend yourself?
Well, suspensions and money and all that come into play.
It's guaranteed money. Is it not?
It's fully guaranteed.
Is it guaranteed money? We have football. We have Myles Garrett swinging helmets, putting the whole season in jeopardy, not making anything. And baseball players, it's guaranteed money, and someone throws at you, you do nothing about it?
Hey, I will say, the way that baseball –
and I'm a Haskins, yeah, but this my son does this.
I think I think it was Ty who told me, he's like, that should be the new double celebration for the Brewers all year.
Just this?
I don't know, man.
The way that baseball players salvaged the whole thing was though was Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson last year was like, okay, yeah, it is almost always pushing, shoving, let's walk back to the dugout. But Jose Ramirez threw down. Yeah. And he kind of saved us
a
little bit.
That's what it keeps you the unknown. Every handful of years, there's one that really goes down.
Bautista,
and
Odor.
I think these guys are more willing to throw down, by the way, than they used to be. I think there's I think there's a little bit more craziness with these 98-mile-an-hour throwers. And by the way, that's scary as hell. I mean, these guys are throwing 100 miles an hour now, like a lot of them.
Yeah.
And if it does come up near, I mean, your whole career flashes. See, this is what my whole thing on this McNeil stuff was, I get it. His whole season flashed in front of his eyes right there. That's why he was mostly mad. By rule, is that an illegal slide? Yes. By rule, should that be a legal slide? Probably not. I mean, his left leg and his right foot both were in jeopardy of being snapped on that play.
Okay.
And just because Hoskins slid very late.
Correct.
Did he slide by rule? Yes. But he slid very late. I thought it was kind of a dirty slide. And at the same time, I can see why McNeil was mad, because as a baseball player, you play 162 games, and on game one or two, your season's about over. What he thought happened in that moment.
Well, then give him something then. If you think your career's on the line, then let him know about it.
Yeah.
Don't just jaw jack with your Oakleys on.
I mean, he did have him down on the ground. He could have started pummeling him.
That's what I'm saying. What do we do? Hey, you know, if I'm a manager, Brent, you know what I'm doing? First thing I'm doing, I'm going to San Quentin. I'm going to find the best baseball player there. I'm going to get him out, and we're going to have an enforcer on our team. And if you want to throw out my players, you want to clear benches, guess what? We have the old enforcer coming out, and he'll take care of business.
Yeah, we'll play
So if you guys want to, that's fine. If you guys want to start talking smack with your Oakleys on and chewing your gum and spitting everything, that's cool. We have an enforcer. Bring him out. Let's see what happens. Just
sign Albert Bell to a
minimum
contract.
Hamby, all these rules, though, in baseball, and now you can't put your foot in front of the bag. Like, not even if it's even impacted the play or not, you can't put your foot in front of the bag, and they're going to let a guy slide that late just because he held onto the bag at 6'4". Like, that's ridiculous. Like, if they're going to make all these rules, you got to still protect that guy. He can't defend himself in that situation. Like, that's ridiculous for a guy to be in jeopardy that far behind the bag. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do it, but with all the stuff going on, there must be a determination where you could say, hey, you slid too late. Like, well, I don't understand why you can't police that. You slid too late.
Well, that's what they tried to do, is if the sliding too late would be if they lose contact with the bag and
he's
they overslide.
He's 6'4". His feet are almost in the outfield.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it was a little late slide, that he was trying to break it up, but you know, you can't say, oh, you have to give yourself up 15 feet before the bag and you can never slide hard into a base.
Come on, we've all played baseball. Everybody knows baseball. Where you slide is not 15 feet early. There's a normal slide, and then there's a late slide. And that checked every box of a late slide, whether he held onto the bag with his fingertips or not.
Still on there. Then break the rules, Brent.
Yeah, by the way, I'm okay.
Then break the rules.
I'm not talking about him then as much. Okay. It was a dirty slide, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's Major League Baseball's fault. If you're going to penalize the guy for having his foot in front of the bag, even though it doesn't affect the play, well, then you better protect that same guy at second base that's 3 feet behind the bag and still getting stepped on.
I mean, if you compare what the rule is now and what players are allowed to do compared to what they were allowed to do 10 years ago, there has been a lot of protection. But if you're going to tell me that I can't ever try to break up a double play at all, because that's what you're really, if you add more protection to the rule from what it is now, then pretty much what you're saying is you can never try to break up a double play.
Absolutely. You can still break up a double play hard.
How?
Yes, you can. You can go into by the way, it's all then based on technique. He was never even throwing the first. He wasn't even trying to throw the first.
Yeah, but I understand that because the transfer, it wasn't.
Well, even though he was still eating that ball. I mean, he wasn't going to throw it. But you can make a hard slide into second base, and then it all depends on the technique of the middle infielder or where the throw is or everything like that. Yeah, I mean, this one was way far over. I don't know how you police it. I get that he hung onto the bag.
Hey, I just feel like
you can help that out.
You know how you police it? Just give him a little.
Yeah.
I mean, do something.
You know how you police it? McNeil pummels him.
I'm sitting here watching live, getting my popcorn. Like, oh, we're about to have a throwdown. Like, let's see what happens. Nothing.
If he starts throwing down on him right there, how many games suspended?
Seriously.
Probably eight.
Eight? Oh, that's nothing.
That'd be worth it.
That's nothing. Then do that. If you're afraid that your career's in jeopardy for the whole year, then take the 8-game suspension.
All right, McNeil, whining and just hit him then, damn
yo,
it.
Wuss.
I mean, more point on that, Brent. Like, obviously this rule is like Utley, you know.
Yeah.
It goes back to that. But you really only see maybe one of these a year of a guy sliding late and it costing a guy time on the IL. So it's not like I understand that they want to get protection, but it's not that big of a thing to where this is that big of a deal to where they need to further the rule again.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, by the way, like, I think that's a good point. Like, I'm okay with some of that, but I do get the angst of the middle infielder. I mean, it's a dangerous position to be in. And then the reason why I would come with you on this and what you say is because I think this kind of stuff is good for baseball. I think occasionally to have a dirty play. Occasionally to have a little bit of a brouhaha, a little bit of a conversation on a Monday about it. I don't think that's bad for baseball, to police yourself. I think we've almost policed it in a sense, and maybe I'm asking for them to do it even more here, is too much. The fact that we give warnings now, and you can't throw at anybody because they'll stop it before. Like, I think the game had lasted for a long time policing itself, and I think there's an element of that I want to exist as much as I don't want robo-umps.
Yeah, see,
I saw your stupid tweet about that too, Hamby.
Oh, wow, shots fired. Listen, we could go all day about sliding into a base, and that's great and everything. I'm breaking the fourth wall here. Hey, Rob Manfred, if the guys clear the base, or if they clear the dugout, fine everybody, all right? If everybody leaves the dugout, and there's getting ready to be a skirmish, and then nothing happens, everyone's getting fined. And the money can go to like the Boys and Girls Clubs of that respected city, whatever the case may be. I'm sick and tired of seeing people leave the benches do anything and jaw jack and not do anything and then go like this. Once again, Brewers, so I'm still a fan, but do this and then not do anything and then throw out a player and then not do anything. From now on, if the benches are cleared, Rob Manfred, get off the Ohtani stuff because it's not going to happen. We get it. We get it. Underneath the rug, sweep it. We get it. From now on, if the bench is clear, fine everybody.
That's awesome.
Unless someone throws a first punch. if a punch is thrown, then yes. Pay them extra. Give them bonus.
Give them a bonus. That'd be the best.
Oh, we're so concerned about the length of baseball. Guess what? It was 20 minutes from both benches clearing and just standing out there.
That's
like,
what Manfred
like it's a national anthem. Like, we're just standing there.
That's what Manfred should actually find.
Yeah.
You delayed the game by 20 minutes, so you guys are all
yes. Seriously. But no, man. Let's
and
keep...
there was no action going on. If there's actually fighting, well, then we'll subtract from the fine.
Yeah. But no, but to keep all the energy on the Ohtani stuff, because we know dang well you're really concerned about that.
And
all
hey, right. Since you want to come at me, that's a ball.
Yeah, listen, he missed the call. I get it.
Oh, here we go.
I get it. That, but it's
okay, it's 2-2.
Be all right,
it was a terrible
with the
miss.
Bases juiced in it the happens, first though, huh? inning. Then we walk the guy in the Castellanos is walking back to the dugout.
What is game?
I get it. Oh, I get it.
So Edmonton 3-0. I bet Connor McDavid scored a couple times there in the bottom right.
So if that's, I'm not saying we got to get robots back there, but in the minor leagues, they literally tap the helmet, they look up, they look on the pitch, they look on the strike zone, strike. Okay, ring them up. Inning over. It's 2-0 going into the second.
Hammy, can you bring the picture back up one more time, please? I want to see something real quick. Yeah, Connor McDavid had 2 goals and an assist. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, don't
but he
really
sucks
care.
By the end of the first.
But nobody cares.
But
nobody cares. Two goals and one assist, but no one's ever heard of Connor McDavid,
I
guess.
Not worried about the bally
ball
right
now. Hey, we just spent 30 minutes talking about second base, so I'm going to bring up some hockey as well.
Hey,
this Monday's off the rails.
Hey, now.
We spent the HOA for a good 20 minutes, talked about second base for 20 minutes. I'm
going to
throw in some Connor McDavid NHL news for 2 minutes.
All right, well, I'll help you out because the one point y'all didn't make about 20 minutes ago of why this might be tonight's LSU-Iowa game might be more watched than the Final Four is because WrestleMania is Saturday and Sunday night, not an issue that the Final Four has ever had to deal with, so they might be losing viewers to WrestleMania.
Might be. Oh, they're losing.
I wonder how much crossover
Rock?
That is.
Huh?
How much crossover is that?
between wrestling fans and college basketball fans? Not as much as I bet you think there is.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, like, football-wise, I could say yes. I don't know if
NASCAR, sure.
But it is like the late night, right? I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be like 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock games or 9:30 games, 10 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when WrestleMania is at night, obviously.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be back to, is the women's tournament the next day, right?
It probably is Sunday.
Oh, no, is it
Tuesday or is it Friday, Sunday? It might be Friday, Sunday.
It's Friday something. It doesn't say.
Because WrestleMania is two nights, Brent. It's so big they couldn't put it in one night.
Well, no. But
that's a fact.
Both the Final Four women's games are Friday.
Yeah, and then the championship game is Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. So the women's game is going to suffer too. Because WrestleMania is Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know. There might be a WrestleMania extension.
Man.
It starts tonight.
Y'all should have planned that better. You guys should have planned that better.
Hey, since you brought it up and since we're on a potpourri of sporting events here on a Monday, what was that stuff going around on The Rock? Was that real?
With what?
Oh, that extra stuff?
Yeah.
Was it real or was it fake?
Hey,
that's
Brent,
my point.
Hey.
Was it fake?
Hey, what do you mean was it fake?
Well, I mean,
when he was cussing and stuff and saying, even though so what Brent's referring to is there's a video circulating where they said cut. Right, because the show is over.
Yeah,
and then The Rock said, "Forget that. Yeah. We're still." Hey,
he's like, "Bleep that!"
Yeah,
you know all this stuff, and then he put out this whole statement.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't stop when people. I do what I want to do.
Exactly. And
so this was just part of the stuff, obviously.
Hey, you know what? I don't know. I'm tuning in to find out. Hey, Brent. Who cares? Final boss is in the house. Oh, somebody even said Coach Rippey knows. Coach Rippey's got the final boss. Yeah. So Brent, this is his new moniker. He's the final boss now.
The Rock.
Yeah. So, like, if you play a video game, you don't get anything in Ms. Pac-Man, obviously, so you don't know, because that's all you play. But in other video games, there's bosses,
yeah,
and he's the final boss, man.
Ms. Pac-Man is a little more like Hoskins versus McNeil.
Oh, man.
Mr. Pico says, the highlight of UFL week one was a field goal, since we're hitting everything.
Oh, yeah, that was this past weekend.
Is that a 64-yarder? Did I also see, like...
Was that destroying?
I don't know who it was, but I also saw a punter throw it to a center for like 35-yard pass play.
Like, oh man!
Does anybody watch that stuff? I didn't even know the UFL was a thing.
To be honest, man, I had my hands full
Mr.
of baseball.
Mr. Pico was watching.
I had my hands full of baseball this past weekend.
Yeah. Hey, actually, you have a piece of it. So let's just keep rolling. Forget about breaks and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you have a video of like Matthew Wright?
Yeah.
Former Jags kicker. And so the new kickoff rule that everybody's been talking about, and this was interesting because he tweeted out a video showing all the different kicks like he's going to try to do.
Yeah.
And I thought this was fascinating because I do think there will be like a specialist almost for this stuff. I wonder if you could have somebody that's really good at it worth an extra roster spot.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt real quick because I just realized, hey, Matt Wright, you're a UCF alum. What are you doing at USF headquarters? Are we good?
Is he really UCF? I didn't know where he went to school.
He is a UCF guy, yeah.
Dang. I mean,
goodness gracious,
is he in the Dolphins or something? What's up?
I don't think he's in the – is he in the league right now?
I think he's a free agent.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So he's this was.
It's kind of like his audition tape.
Yeah. Well, which actually isn't a bad idea,
yeah,
right?
But Squibb it, though, right? Squibb it one time, Matthew.
I haven't seen the Squibb yet.
Well, that's what I'm waiting. I mean –
stop on the one, show right to left.
This could have been 100 takes, too, by the way. We
yeah, it could have been. But I think this is what you're going to get,
I
right?
I mean, do you think NFL scouts are salivating over this right now? Matthew, add some graphics to this.
Can I get a different angle?
Get some laser.
Also?
First of all, Brent.
It stopped on the one. Did it?
Brent,
gosh, you guys are really, like, critiquing this thing.
Well, he kicked the ball. That's all I got from that.
All right, so, but what I came away with thinking is,
we should have went to break. Okay, go ahead.
We should have gone to break.
What do you got?
Will we see a specialist on top of a specialist? Mm. Like, how coveted will a guy that actually can really do some things with the kickoff become? And does that guy necessarily have to be able to also kick field goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have to all go hand in hand.
I mean, I would think ideally.
Yeah, or at least have like... You know, there's some punters that are, like, good, like, kickoff men, too.
That's true. Like, Logan Cook can kick off.
Yeah, so one of those guys is going to have to master that skill. So I have a hard time believing you're going to sacrifice a roster spot just for a kickoff specialist. But.
What do you think, Hamby? You think we see – I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Like, Logan Cook, first of all, these guys all have a ton of time on their hands to practice this stuff. And I say that respectfully. But Logan Cook can really do a bunch with a football, like, as he punts it. He's tried different things. He incorporates, like, sometimes he hits a ball, looks like it's shanked. It's actually intentional because of what he's trying to do with the football. And it's really amazing. But I wonder, like, if that guy could be better at kicking it off because he knows what already to do with the football. It's totally a different skill set, it feels like, dropping one on your foot rather than kicking it off. But that doesn't mean, who's the guy they just got? Joey Sly.
Sly Dog.
Is very good at kicking it to the six-yard line or angling it to the five. Like, that almost becomes, I don't know about just as important, but a pretty important part of the kicker resume as it does kicking a 54-yard field goal.
But don't you think guys can practice this or not?
Like, well, I can, feel like if you're good at it, you can practice a lot of things and you might still not be very good at it.
Yeah, but if you're good at an onside kick, I don't know. I don't see the – I mean, who knows? The Jaguars had they had Josh Lambeau and another kicker at the same time on the roster for a while, it seemed like.
Yeah, true.
And
– they did do that.
Yeah. So that was a spot. I don't think you're going to see a kickoff specialist. I may be wrong here. But I think if you're a kicker in the National Football League,
you got some time on your hands.
And you can kick an onside kick, you're going to adapt and learn how to, you know, give you what the coach wants.
I'm with Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I think that's the prevailing thought. I just would not see, I wouldn't be surprised to see two kickers on a roster in the near future on like a team or two. I'm not saying it's across the board. I don't think it's the norm. I just think you could get somebody. For in this case, let's just use Matthew Wright, who's very good at that. And then you've got another guy. Because here's the problem with Matthew Wright. He doesn't have a huge leg. In fact, some of the reasons why he wasn't in Jacksonville is he couldn't get it the touchbacks enough. Well, now you don't want that. So now you've got a guy who can kick it between the 10 and the goal line, but he can do some funky things with the football. And then you've got a guy who can kick it 57 yards and 54 yards and has a leg like McManus or somebody like that. I just think they could create that situation. Now, is a team willing to do it? And what roster spot would you give up? Would you hold three tight ends instead of four or something like that? I predict it happens.
Okay.
Now, does it happen for a whole season?
Does
it happen
video.
For a few weeks? I bet it happens, if not this year, the next two seasons.
So you think that there's going to be a kickoff specialist?
Yeah, I want to be clear here. I don't think it's across the board. I don't think they create 54 roster spots. Okay. I just think you will get a team that's a little outside the box and says and really values somebody. Because here's the thing. I don't think there are 50 or 30 Matthew Wrights that are going to be just good at that. But I think there might be one that's really good. Like, why not? Why can't you find a guy that's really good at that but not necessarily great at kicking it through the uprights or for longer distance? This kickoff rule actually favors guys with weaker legs.
Well, you might see like a Chad Ochocinco, Dario Ogunbowale out there doing it.
Yeah, see?
I doubt it.
Like now it's an athlete. But now you can play multiple positions, Brent.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, there you go. That's another way to make it.
See? Just saying.
Here, that is a true special teams guy.
By the way, probably the best comment I've ever seen in the chat, Glenn C. bringing Joey Sly and the Family Stone.
Very good.
Shout out to everyday people. Okay,
the chat is working.
Everyday people today. Out there, everybody.
Chat's doing a good job. All right, let's take a break. We will hit one of those. Here we go on the Brent and Austin Show. Hope you're having a good start to your Monday. And we keep talking a lot about football and also who won the opening weekend in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you who won around here. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Huge crowds on this opening weekend. They lost a couple of ball games. But terrific crowds in Jacksonville at 121 Financial Ballpark in the baseball grounds to start the Jumbo Shrimp season, including a sellout crowd on Friday.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.